I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and He sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest.' And He entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when He had looked around at everything, as it was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word.
Thank you, Lisa. 15 minutes of fame. Has anyone ever heard that phrase before? Can you think of anyone who's had their 15 minutes of fame? Have you had it in your life? Let's talk about fame just for a second. How many people remember Audie Murphy? Not everybody, huh? Audie Murphy. Let's just look at what this guy did. He was one of the most decorated American combat soldiers of World War II, and he got the Medal of Honor when he was 19 years old. He even went into making movies. I don't hear anyone talk about him anymore, do you? He was a big hero, and that happened in the 40s, and if it weren't for the movies, we may have forgotten in the 40s, but he made movies. Then he died on May 28, 1971. Not a lot has been said. Well, then there's Lieutenant Garland Merle Connor. He was the second most decorated soldier of World War II. How many of you have heard of him? It's what I thought. It's amazing, isn't it? These are people who won awards, the highest awards that our country can give, and we don't remember them. Or if we do remember them, oh yeah, I remember they did something back then. Not really sure what they did. Maybe you'll remember this. The Miracle on Ice. Do you remember that? That was important to me because I was an ice hockey player. In the 1980 Winter Olympics at Lake Placid, New York, on Friday, February 22nd, the U.S. national team, made up of amateur and collegiate players and led by Coach Herb Brooks, defeated the Soviet Union, which had won the gold medal in 6 of the 7 previous Olympic Games. And folks, those Soviets were professionals. They played year-round. Everybody remember that one? 15 minutes of fame. A lot of people don't even talk about that anymore. Fame is fleeting. It is rare that heroes last. What makes a hero is anyone's guess. Heroes come in all shapes and sizes, and there are heroes in nearly every walk of life. You can find a hero for some people in decorating. That's my hero. Anyone think of a name that goes with that? Does TV shows? Shows you how to decorate, how to cook? Martha Stewart. Some people find their heroes in different walks of life. There are different things that people do, and people look at them and say, "Oh my gosh, they're so wonderful." But it won't be long, and you won't hear that name anymore. The more important question may be, what do heroes cause us to feel? What emanates from a hero? When our sports heroes do something, someone catches a pass, and it's one of those Hail Mary passes, and bam, catches it, touchdown, we all cheer, and we talk about the game and how wonderful it was, even when a football player for Dallas catches and it doesn't count. We remember, but only for a few weeks. The next season begins, and we're not talking about that anymore. So what is it that goes on inside of us? What is it that happens to transfer that feeling of, oh, that's my hero, that's a wonderful person? Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and I like telling this story because it's my 15 minutes of fame, so I get to tell about it. But in 1970, the hockey team I played for, the all-star team, we went up to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we played in a tournament. And the last game we played was against a Canadian team. They were considered the best. It was a great game, and I was the goalie. So you can imagine, if anyone scores, a red light goes on behind me and everybody cheers. I know I've messed up. That's how it worked. But in this game, it ended in a tie, so we had to have a shoot-off, what they would call basically a one-on-one. And they set the puck at the blue line, and the player skates around in the center ice and then suddenly takes off with the puck, and it's just him and the goaltender. So I'm standing in the nets, and I'm shaking. I'm so scared. This is the big game. This is it, the last game. Whoever wins, wins the tournament. So the guys circle and circle, and I skate out of the net almost halfway to meet him. He gets the puck, he starts coming, and I'm moving backwards, skating backwards as fast as I can with my goalie pads, my mask, everything. He shoots. I drop into the splits. No, I'm not going to do that right now. I can tell you I would end up in traction or something. But I could actually do the splits then, and I dropped into the splits. I had no idea where the puck was, but I just threw an arm and a leg in each direction. The guy skated by. When they looked, the puck was in my glove, and we won the game. I didn't know it was there. I was laying flat on my back on the ice, and I was as surprised as anybody. Talk about luck, but the team skated out, lifted me on their shoulders, and the coach was grabbing me. People were cheering. 15 minutes of fame. A year later, no one mentioned that game. We started a new season. There was no reason to. That was my moment. You may have had your moment. You may have had more than one moment, which would be wonderful if you have. But we all have those moments, but something inside of us gets so excited and our heart starts racing and we say, that's my hero, that's great, I'm so happy. And you applaud and you cheer. Well, that's what happened to Jesus. Right? He comes riding in to Jerusalem. People are throwing their cloaks down in front of him and their garments and palm leaves, and they're all cheering and they're so excited because this is the man who did it. He has raised people from the dead. He has restored sight to the blind. He's restored hands. This is the one. Here's the excitement. What happened? Where were those people? Do you remember the movie Braveheart? In the movie Braveheart, you got William Wallace. And William Wallace went to war, and he's at Falkirk, and he's ready for battle, and he thinks he has the Scottish nobles behind him. And they come riding up on the ridge, and he's ready to go to battle, and he does. And they leave the Scottish nobles right off. Did not help. And the Scottish nobles were led by Robert the Bruce. Here's a little scene here. This is Robert the Bruce's dad. He says, I'm the one who's rotting because he had leprosy, but I think your face looks graver than mine. Son, we must have an alliance with England to prevail here. You achieved that. You saved your family, increased your land. Excuse me, in time, you will have all the power in Scotland. Robert the Bruce says, lands, titles, men, power, nothing. His dad says, nothing? He says, Robert says, I have nothing. Men fight for me because if they do not, I throw them off my land and I starve their wives and children. Those men who bled the ground red at Falkirk fought for William Wallace. He fights for something that I never had, and I took it from him when I betrayed him. I saw it in his face on the battlefield, and it's tearing me apart. And the dad says, all men betray, all lose heart. Robert the Bruce says, I don't want to lose heart. I want to believe as he does. I will never be on the wrong side again. Maybe that's the cry of our hearts this morning. We've chased after everything we thought would satisfy our soul, and it's left us empty, nothing. And maybe we've even betrayed our Savior to do it. Maybe we have been idolaters. We've built our cisterns, and they don't hold water. They leave us empty-hearted, just as the people who greeted Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. Maybe you're even saying to yourself, I don't want to lose heart. I want to believe. I will never be on the wrong side again. In the years following that All-Star game that I played in, I kept saying to myself, I don't want to lose heart. Will I ever see another game like that? I did not. Because I had placed everything that I had in a game and not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fame is fleeting. Energy runs its course and is gone. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, a day in which the fame and energy ran through the crowd and they shouted in the streets, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest. Beginning today, we'll see Jesus ride into Jerusalem to shouts of acclamation. Then he celebrates the Passover with his disciples and announces his betrayal. Then he is betrayed, taken to trial, beaten, then nailed to the cross. Where were those who waved the palm leaves, laid their cloaks before him, shouted Hosanna in the highest? Where are you in your faith? The story is told about a little boy who found a rat in his backyard. He jumped on it. He stomped it. He killed it. He was so proud of himself, and he ran to show the rat to his mother. But he didn't realize the preacher had come to call. So excited, the boy ran into the house carrying the rat by the tail and hollering to his mom, Mom, look what I found. I found this rat. I jumped on it. I stomped on it. And just then he noticed the preacher, and he finished his sentence by saying, and then the Lord called him home. Therein lies the problem. We have energy, but not the spirit that Jesus brought for us. For if we had the spirit, every day would be a day to witness to what Jesus has done for us. Spirit is not the same as energy. Energy is the result of adrenaline. The Holy Spirit is the result of faith. And if we have faith, we rejoice. We are a joyful people and a people of hope. A husband and wife were having an argument. Finally, out of sheer frustration, the husband blurted out, Honey, I don't know why God made you so beautiful and yet so dumb at the same time. The woman stared at her husband and said, Well, God made me beautiful so you could love me, and God made me dumb so I could love you. Perhaps that's kind of what Jesus said to himself as he rode into Jerusalem. God made me your Savior so you could love me, and made me forgiving so I could love you. If you are sitting in the pew saying to yourself, I've done my duty, I came to church today, then you've missed the point of being a follower of Christ. You operate on adrenaline, not on the Spirit. However, if you're sitting there thinking, I can't wait to tell all my friends, neighbors, and family members how much I love the Lord and how important it is to me to worship Him, then the Spirit is moving within you. And when the time comes and the trial is there and they have Barabbas and Jesus, you're going to be shouting Jesus, not Barabbas. How does that work for you? Do you operate on energy and say, I'm feeling really good today, I think I'll go to church? Or do you operate on the Holy Spirit and say, I'm going to church today? It's not about how I feel, it's about what I'm committed to. 15 minutes of fame. This is actually part one. There is a part two to this, so get ready, because next Sunday you're going to hear 15 more minutes of fame. But I want you to think about this during the week. Where is your commitment? Are you the one who's shouting Barabbas, or are you the one who is shouting Jesus and saying, I am on board with the 2015 evangelism year of Central Christian Church, because I believe. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my church. I believe in what we're doing. And I believe people would be happy sitting in these pews with us. And we want them to be part. If that is what you're doing, if that is where we're going, if we are to be true disciples of Christ, not just in name, then we're going to have a lot of people here. Because we're going to be the ones going out saying, come to Central Christian Church. We believe, and we would like for you to believe with us. Let us not give shouts of acclamation to our Lord, only to walk away in times of trial. May we be as faithful to Him as He is to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, I know that many times bad things happen, and when they do, we may lose faith, and we ask that you help us to stay strong and to not lose faith, but to understand that there is so much going on in this world that you need us, that you call us, and that you ask that we bring others to know you. May we be faithful in that ministry. May we be faithful to each other. May we be faithful to our church. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.